We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Portland. Hey, what's up? I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
And we're your hosts for the Travel Agents Podcast. Will, what city are we talking about today?
We're talking about Portland, Oregon.
We have a population in the city center of 650,000, but the greater metropolitan area of 2.1 million, kind of like the size of Cleveland.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
What's the language there? English? yeah. And parts of it can feel like a foreign country. But
yeah, sure.
it's a unique city.
It is. Yeah, it's definitely.
And that's a cool aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm really eager to hear. I know you just came back from living on the West Coast.
Yep.
I'm eager to hear. I've been to Portland once for kind of like a 3-day trip.
Yep.
So I got to do and see some things. We have an exciting interview at the end here, which I think we'll stay tuned for. But I'd love to hear your defining words for Portland.
Yeah, I just want to say this is a part of an ongoing series where we're talking about the Pacific Northwest and the beauty in that region. If you're interested in learning about Seattle, there's an episode about that. And if you're interested in learning about the nature aspect of the Pacific Northwest, we have an episode dedicated to this. This episode is just about the city of Portland. We're not going to be talking about hiking or anything like that. If you're interested in learning about that stuff, check out our Pacific Northwest episodes. With that, let's roll into defining words.
Here's three words to help you. Here's our defining words.
Our first word is beer. Portland is actually known as being one of the capitals of microbreweries within the United States and I believe even the world. It's an epicenter for breweries and craft breweries. So if you're interested in beer, this is going to be a really awesome city for you to go to.
Will, what's a microbrewery?
Great question. So it's sort of looking at craft brewery. So a brewery, like if you have like your Miller Lights, mm-hmm. that's a sort of global brand. Well, I think it's a global brand, but it's at least a national, well-known brand. A microbrewery is sort of your mom and pop shop, or maybe even just a craft brewery bottle that is very popular, but not up to that level of like a Miller Light. So nice. Maybe like a Founders. Founders is a microbrewery, even though it's a very popular craft brewery.
Number two, food trucks. Will, what is Cartlandia?
Yeah, so Cartlandia is one of the food trucks locations that we went to. It's technically inside Portland, but it's outside the city proper. And just like all these locations in Portland, Cartlandia is a fantastic location for you to go to and experience some food trucks. So if you're big into food trucks and that sort of food scene, Portland is going to be a huge city for you because some of the best places to eat are actually the food trucks within the city. And Cartlandia is one of those big locations with a ton of different cuisines with Asian, Mexican, and a bunch of others.
Number three, problems.
Yeah, so unfortunately, and I think most people probably know this, listening to the news and stuff like that, there are a few problems going on with Portland. They sort of, ebb and flow, but it's been a hotbed for those Antifa riots, those Proud Boy riots, a lot of political turmoil in the city. But with that, you're actually getting a lot of homeless and a lot of drug use. So you're kind of seeing some of the city sort of fall to the wayside a little bit. And it's important to acknowledge that. But it's a beautiful city, and it's a city that you should still visit. But there's cracks showing.
It's earlier in the intro, I mentioned it being like a foreign country. And what I was getting at is it is just a little different, isn't it? Than any other city you've been to. And there's pros and cons that come with being a very different city.
Yeah.
One of the pros is we get the TV show Portlandia. One of my favorites. Yeah.
Shout out Fred Armisen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ready for our highs and lows?
Yeah. Let's talk about all the cool things about Portland.
Sometimes things are good, sometimes they're bad too. It's highs, lows coming to you.
So when I was in Portland, this was one of my favorite things, and I still think about my day here, and that was my buddy and I, who we're going to interview later, we went to the Japanese Garden.
Yeah, same. I mean, I've been to Portland twice, and One of those times I got a chance to go to the Japanese garden. For $20, you get access to this beautiful, wow, huge Japanese garden, complete with everything culture related to Japan. And not only that, you get this beautiful sort of city view within the gardens. And if you're interested in learning more about the culture of Japan and seeing some flora and other flowers related to the country, this is going to be a really great location for you to experience that culture. It feels like you've been transported to Osaka or Kyoto or Tokyo. A lot of Japanese arts. There's an area where people will walk with you and talk with you about artifacts from Japan and educate you about some of this beautiful artistry that's going on and still going on within Japan.
I have like not been to a place where I felt more at peace. Right?
Yeah, it's very serene and very tranquil.
If you're having a stressful day, this is where you go.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things about the Japanese garden, it is sort of a testimony to what Portland is like. And what I mean by that is that Portland is embedded inside the forest. And it's kind of hard to describe, but it feels like it. It feels like you're in a forest for large sections of the city. Now, granted, like your city downtown, it's not forestry. Right. But on the outskirts and everything like that, it makes you feel like you're still in the forest, but still in a city. And right. The Japanese garden is a great testimony to that feel within Portland.
Next, Portland is a beautiful city.
It is. And I mentioned, you know, there's cracks showing and all that stuff with things going on within the city, but that doesn't take away from the beauty of the city itself. It is, like I said, deep inside some forestry, deep within Mount Hood's area. And with that, it just makes for this really beautiful city. I mean, even going into the city, it was a really cool experience. I think like the only thing I could really like relate it to is sort of like going into Tampa. You have these really big bridges that sort of take you into the city. And the way that the bridges take you in, it's almost like you're orbiting in and sort of coming into the city. And it's a really cool experience. It's a cool welcoming to getting into downtown Portland. And I was just really blown away by sort of the beauty, especially at night. Everything's lit up and it's just gorgeous.
Actually, I took a train with my buddy from Seattle to Portland. And I same thing. I felt very welcomed. And the trees along the way, it was in the fall, so it was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Number three, tell us about the street food.
Yeah, so I mentioned before, like, there's a bunch of places to get street food, food trucks and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's the way to go when you're going to Portland. We talked to a guest later in the episode that really mentioned how amazing the Asian cuisine is here in Portland. And you're really getting a lot of that within the food trucks here. And another really great food cart location is actually Fifth Avenue Food Pod. This is, as you might guess, food truck location on Fifth Avenue. And if you're interested in anything cuisine wise, right? So anything Asian, Vietnamese, Japanese, Thai, if you're looking for Mexican, if you're looking for Italian, if you're looking for good old fashioned American food, you're going to get it at these food trucks. And these people are, you know, salt of the earth people running these food trucks, and they're very talented.
If you were to go to Portland to go see the breweries, the food trucks, and the Japanese garden, just that alone. Yeah. That's all we've talked about, but just that alone, would it be worth it?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks especially, for a day. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think Portland is really similar to Seattle in the sense that you're going to have a good time in the city.
Yeah.
But I think the best part of the area is the nature.
Sure.
And so if you're visiting the area, this is a great location to get some great food.
Sure.
Great breweries, all that kind of stuff. Great coffee, ice cream. But yeah, it's really going to be the nature.
Well, we see that with so many destinations. Like you fly into the city, you stay in the city, and the city's great. Mm-hmm. Spend 3, 4, 5 nights in the city, but make sure you go out. And we have that example time and time again for destinations all over the world. You can't just go to the city. You got to go out and see some of the like country spots and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's a lot of the highs that I really enjoyed in my visit to Portland. And I mentioned this before, we got to talk about the low.
Sure.
And the low is the decline. I would say that Seattle is like a few years ahead of Portland in terms of a decline. And it kind of shows. If you go to Portland and you go to Seattle, you're going to see more like grime in Seattle, but you're still going to see some beautiful spots in Portland. and you're starting to see the cracks show. Mm. Now, I'm hoping that they turn this around because it's very fixable. Mm. But with this decline, you're getting some bad areas that aren't normally bad areas.
Will for mayor.
When we were there, we were warned to be very cautious about the Chinese district. So okay. instead of a Little Italy, they have a Chinese Chinatown.
Got it.
And it's because that was a real hotbed for drug use and homelessness. And this is not to say that homelessness is the problem. It's the drug use that's the problem. The yeah. open use of heroin, stabbings, theft, all that kind of stuff. That's where you're going to see a lot of the hotbed activity, at least when we were there.
Yeah.
And I would say like the second hotbed would probably be more in like the artsy area, which is on the east side of the city.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that by the time we release this changes, but
sure.
Nothing's really pointing towards this being changed. So I think, you know, it's a lot like a lot of these West Coast cities. You're going to see homeless, you're going to see tents, you're going to see trash and, you know, drug use yeah. in these cities.
I have a question for you as this could be a potential low.
Yeah.
For our families who are listening with children, do you see Portland as a family-friendly environment? I'm talking, you have kids who are under 12 years old. Are there options and things for them to do? Or is Portland really going to focus and cater more towards the adult market?
That's a really good question. I'm sure I'm wrong in this, but I would say that it caters more to the adult. I would feel uncomfortable taking a family to Portland just because you never really know what you're going to see. And this is, I hear this all the time. Like, cities are like this. New York's like this. Sure. LA is like this. Miami is like this. But that's just not the case. Like, you don't go to those cities and see open drug use. You might on the subway in New York.
Sure.
I mean, probably will on the subway in New York. But here in Portland, man, like, you're in like a really touristy area and you'll just see someone shooting up heroin. Sure. Like, that's just it.
Okay.
So I would take that like as a big thing.
Did you ever feel unsafe?
No, because I knew where to go.
Okay.
I researched it pretty thoroughly and I talked to a few people about where to go beforehand and where to stay clear from. But I would feel very uncomfortable walking Portland at night, not knowing it. Cause it's just, you're on a nice street and then all of a sudden you're in a bad street.
Got it.
And I think, you know, it's a huge scene for like breweries and like, you know, food and mm-hmm. a lot of more so, I don't want to say intense hiking, but for the most part, intense hiking. So there's definitely going to be things there for families to do.
Yeah.
Experiencing some of the nature trails and the Japanese garden will be really cool. Some of the museums will be really cool.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I don't know.
Gotcha. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Ready for tips?
Yeah.
Tips from the travel agents.
All right. So what is Willamette Valley?
Yeah. So I think for tips for this segment, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that you should check out. Some of the things that we recommend. And one of the first things that I recommend is Willamette Valley. Willamette Valley is just an hour south of Portland, but it's worth going to if you're really interested in some of the wine country. This is a huge wine country area. And with that, you're actually going to get a lot of other agricultural stuff. The reason being is Willamette Valley is actually an area of volcanic activity. There's a lot of volcanoes in the Pacific Northwest. So with volcanoes, you're getting really rich agriculture. Mm-hmm. And Willamette Valley is sort of the talisman area within Oregon, or at least nearby Portland, for you to experience some of that rich agriculture. So if you're into wineries, this is going to be the area that you're going to want to check out, Willamette Valley, just an hour south of Portland.
Number two, Columbia River Gorge.
Yeah, so I did say that we're not going to talk too much, if anything, about the hiking, but I do want to mention the Columbia River Gorge. Portland, I think, technically is within the bounds of the Columbia River Gorge, but what it is as you might guess, it's a large river cutting through, but it's more than that. We're looking a little bit closer at the Mount Hood National Park. So you're looking at a grand encompassing national park, and Columbia River Gorge is going to be the place you're going to want to go to for your hiking trails. If you're interested in Multnomah Falls, which is a very famous waterfall just about 20 minutes outside of Portland, I think it's the second tallest, if not the most tallest waterfall in Oregon. Nice. And it's a very, very popular waterfall. I mentioned it in our Pacific Northwest episode. Mm-hmm. But the Columbia River Gorge is going to be your hotbed for anything nature-related outside of the city of Portland. And we're talking about just about a 20-minute drive. So it's very, very close to the city.
Number three, the Pittock Mansion.
For history fans who want to learn more about the city of Portland and sort of experience it in a very beautiful location, I recommend checking out the Pittock Mansion. It provides incredible views of the city of Portland. And on a clear day, you'll probably be able to see Mount Hood, which is around 70 miles away from the Pittock Mansion. But what's so great about it is that it's this beautiful old money mansion that has been converted into a museum related to the history of Portland. So if you're interested in learning more about how Portland came to be and want to see, you know, what Portland was like 100 years ago, Pittock Mansion is going to be a really great opportunity for you to learn more about the city. And this is going to be one of those great locations for your children.
Portland was founded in 1851. Oh, interesting.
Okay. I wonder if that's like...
It looked very different back
post
then.
Post-Gold Rush, but okay. Yeah.
Are there any ice cream lovers out there? Well, if yes, where are you going to direct them?
Yeah, if you're into ice cream, Portland has a lot of really popular spots for ice cream, but probably the most well-known location is called Salt and Straw. It's a very popular ice cream location, and if you search up ice cream within Portland, it's probably going to be the first one to pop up, and it's probably going to have several thousand Google reviews. But what's so great about it? Okay, so it has classic flavors, nice and creamy ice cream, but something that makes it really unique is that they really try and be inventive with some of their flavors. And their flavors, if I remember correctly, they sort of rotate out. So I'm not saying that if you go, you'll be able to get baked bean, but you might be able to. I remember, I think there was one, it was like a turkey flavored mm-hmm. ice cream. So there is some wild and crazy flavors, yeah. But if you're interested in some classic flavors, you'll get that too.
Nice. Tell us about Forest Park.
Yeah, so our interview with a local actually talked a little bit about Forest Park being one of his favorite things to do within the city, but it's actually one of the largest urban forests in the world, and it's located west of downtown Portland, just outside the city limits. If I remember correctly, I believe the Japanese Garden is actually situated within Forest Park. But Forest Park is a very large area if you want to do some hiking, but you still want to be in downtown Portland. So Forest Park is sort of the central park of Portland, but there's going to be a lot more trees, a lot more of that forest feel. So this is the urban park within Portland.
Nice. We got four more.
Yeah, so I'll talk very briefly about beer. I mentioned it earlier. Portland is a very popular location for breweries, and two of the most popular breweries that we went to and the two of the most popular breweries within the city is Deschutes and Cascade Brewing House. Deschutes, great place for beer, great place for food. It's going to be located smack dab in Portland, in the downtown, I believe on the western side, pretty close to the Chinese district, but you're not in the Chinese district. And then Cascade Brewing House is just a few minutes away by walking. I want to say maybe about half a mile, if that. And same thing. Really great place for beer and food.
Would you say if I wanted to fit in with the locals, I should have a beard, brew, hiking boots, and flannel?
Absolutely. Thanks, yes, man. That so, is the look. Get your anybody, beanie, get your flannel, grow your beard.
Oh, I forgot beanie.
Get beanie, some hiking boots.
Beanie, beard, brew, boots, flannel.
Yeah, and if you don't like beer, get a coffee and you're in. That's it. That's all you need.
Get that type of brew.
Yay, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Portland Saturday Market.
Yeah, so I had heard about this closer to us leaving, so I'm really bummed about not being able to experience this, but the Portland Saturday Market runs from March to the day before Christmas, so Christmas Eve. It runs on every Saturday during that period, and it's the largest operated arts and craft market in the United States. So it's a really great place for you to find your souvenirs. And not only that, you're going to be supporting local businesses and artists. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, this is going to be the thing for you to do. Yeah.
Tell us about Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, I would be remiss to talk about Portland without mentioning Voodoo Donuts. Now, most Portlanders, I think that's what you would call them, would say that Voodoo Donuts is not the best donut location in Portland, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was amazing. And it's a huge tourist area. And I mean, it's an icon of the city. It just is. And it's a great place for you to get some amazing donuts, donuts of all types, really. So there's a bunch of different opportunities for you. Did you get a chance to go to Voodoo Donuts when you were there?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think?
Delish.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
I also thought Portland is very dog friendly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is.
Did you know it is one of the most friendly cities in the U.S. for vegetarian and vegan eaters?
I believe that. Yeah.
You could believe that.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch for you.
Yeah. Not only that, it's the food's really good. Like you can get a vegan meal and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Which I like eating vegan every now and then, but it's hard to go to a restaurant and it not, you know, be sad.
Sure.
There's great opportunities here. Yeah.
Standby items?
Yep.
It's safety and other info with standby items. Here we go.
For my book lovers out there, you have to check out Powell's City of Books. This library, well, it's not a library, it's a bookstore, is huge. I want to say it has something around like 4 million books for you to buy. They have pre-owned book, they have new books, they have rare collective books. I mean, they have everything. And even if you're not interested in books or you're curious about a specific subject that you want to get into, this is going to be the place for you to go and get new content for you to like research and learn more about that thing. I mean, Powell's City of Books was a really cool location.
Nice.
And it's in downtown Portland, so you don't have to like drive out of the city or anything. It's an icon of the city.
Tell us about the food carts.
Yeah, so I briefly mentioned, but just to go back over it, if you're looking for some good food carts, I recommend going to Fifth Avenue Food Pod or Cartlandia within the city.
And then I had one I wanted to mention. Okay, so like 7 years, well, 2015 and prior, there was the famous Portland Airport carpet.
Okay.
Where everybody fell in love with the carpet at the Portland Airport.
Why?
And because it was just iconic to that airport. Here's a picture of it. And then I know it's just, it looks kind of 80s or 90s.
It looks like a bowling alley carpet.
Bowling alley, sure. But no other airport had this carpet.
Okay.
And the people in Portland, being maybe just a touch unique, fell in love with this carpet. And then in 2015, the year I was visiting, the airport announced, oh, we're going to change the carpet. And there was this like, you know, mass revolt against that. And so much so that there is now a Portland Airport Instagram carpet, Portland Airport carpet Instagram page. And I believe, I know this info is a bit dated, but it was like they were going to keep some terminal or some hallway with that carpet. They didn't remove it. They left it.
Yeah.
And now, but they changed all the rest of the carpet. So I guess you can still find it. But if you are a diehard Portland carpet fan, you can get t-shirts, you can get leggings, you can get socks with that old, the original Portland Airport carpet.
I think that perfectly encapsulates everything that Portland is about.
Just listen to that and you'll be like, okay, I think I understand.
That's Portland for you. Yep.
Well, I'm eager to hear our interview with a local. I hope everyone enjoys it.
It's interview, it's interview, it's interview with a local.
We got my buddy Peter here who lives in Portland. Peter, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. I'm eager to hear your thoughts on this very interesting city. So I got some questions for you, and I want to start with if someone were to come visit you in Portland, where are you going to take me?
yeah. Are you? So do you have Chick-fil-A in Akron, Ohio?
We just got it.
The Lord's Chicken.
No. Yeah, good. Yeah. No, you know, I think for me, I guess it does depend a little bit on what you like, but there is this little area in Portland, and I mean, I'm relatively new, so you'll have to forgive me. It's called Washington Park, I believe. I think some folks might even call it City Park. But yeah. Basically, it is like you got the Portland Japanese Garden. Mm. You've got something called the Hoyt Arboretum, and then the Portland Zoo. Now, I know zoos are a little problematic to some, but I happen to just love a zoo. I love seeing the animals. I think it's really kind of fascinating to see that. But the reason why it's so cool to me is it gives you the opportunity, even if you don't want to look at any of those three things I just described, it is just this beautiful, beautiful nature walk that you can go through. That's totally free of charge. So that would be my recommendation for anyone, just if you want something to do based on a variety of interests.
That's awesome. Yeah, you get a little bit of an experience of some nature. That's one of the cool things about Portland is it's so ingrained with nature.
Yeah, and it's something that genuinely you have to kind of be here to see it. And really appreciate it. I think as Brian knows, Will, maybe not you as much. I've lived in Arizona, Texas, Colorado, California, both northern and southern. And the nature here is really just, it's so special. It's so unique. I mean, I guess Seattle has it and so does Vancouver, Canada, but, you know, it is very specific to the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Peter, give us some insider tips, one or two, that maybe most tourists would not know.
I would say this is going to probably be a little silly goose of a response, but definitely use Google. I know it sounds silly, but...
Yeah, you taught me that, actually. No, but okay, go ahead. Here, you go ahead, then I'll finish. I hear you saying.
Portland is just, and obviously I think every city would probably say this, but it is so diverse in that if you're on the east side of Portland, there is a vibrant art scene where just on buildings, I'll send you a picture of my dog if anyone wants it and anyone requests it, directly in front of a mural that was just painted on the outside of a regular business building. If you go to the west side, you've got some kind of the more hoity-toity shops and some really interesting like cocktail bars or donut shops and ice cream shops. But then if you go southwest, it is just filled with nature and it is so beautiful. You also have just directly down the center of the city is a huge river. And so I think they even call it Bridge City. There's probably like 7 bridges here or something to that extent. So truly, like, don't just Google and see like what does TripAdvisor say. Just Google whatever you're into and then pick based on that, because you'll have a dramatically different experience just based on where you're staying.
I remember you and I have traveled quite a bit together, and whenever we were in a city, I would always Google things to do in that city, and you would be next to me Googling underground things to do in the city. That was like, just that one little word was very different, and it gave us very different results for what we were going to do. And I think you and I usually did a good job when we traveled together of having a mix of like, yes, we like touristy things, but then just like some really different things that tourists wouldn't do.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So favorite thing, maybe up to 2, even 3 if you want, about Portland.
I got caught up in a word that I didn't want to say. I think the nature is certainly going to be number one for me, and just the ability to just kind of walk around in nature, see the parks. I do quite enjoy coffee. There is just no shortage of coffee shops around here, which is especially great There's even like a chain, which I don't think is that far east yet, Dutch Bros, which it's very chainy. Don't be mistaken, but they allow for dogs and they're almost like a Disneyland level of customer service. And so like, I don't know, there is just something nice about having that friendly of a person serve you drinks.
What was the name of that place again?
Dutch Bros.
Dutch Bros. Okay.
Yeah. If you want just like a regular hot cup of coffee, it's even kind of difficult.
I have no idea how to make it.
Yeah, they do a lot of these like frozen drinks and even some, and now we're talking, this is a Dutch Bros advertisement, even though they don't sponsor the podcast, but there's places I've been to where the line will be 30 cars deep to get into a Dutch Bros. Now, the one I went to, never, but in any case, yeah, great. And then I'll say the Asian food here is absolutely phenomenal, and yes, there's so many different varieties of it, and you'll have a Korean fusion, a Thai place, you've got, I would say, traditional Chinese, but it's actually traditional American Chinese. But just phenomenal flavors in that regard.
Yeah,
that's really cool. You mentioned being a fan of finding underground things to do while you're in a city. Is there an underground thing in Portland that you really enjoy doing?
Oh man, funny enough, I haven't really found that. Not to mention, I'm a little bit old these days and don't always go do that adventurous thing. But what I do, it's probably a hard pivot, but maybe not. I don't think a lot of people like to do this, but I do. I like to see what concerts are playing in that particular city that I happen to be visiting, or what comedy show is being played in that city. Yeah. I know that's probably technically something you can do anywhere, but I do think it's just kind of a fun experience to see a theater in a different city and or whatever, that might be. And in Portland, we do have Living Room Theater, if you're not familiar with.
Not familiar with it.
It is a place that has drinks and sometimes music in the lobby. And then you just go into a theater that is, I think, maybe four rows deep and 12 seats wide. And it actually, I think some of them are even kind of bench style seating. and it just feels like you're watching a movie in your living room, hence the name.
That's cool. That's a cool experience.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. I'm looking at it right now. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a great little time break in any trip. But then again, I am an old man these days.
Old soul.
Having a little 2 hours to rest the dogs that are barking is always a good thing for me.
Yeah. But your dog does keep you young.
Yeah, sure. And she does keep me walking.
Yeah. Peter, what's something you would change about Portland if you could? You should be really harsh.
I'll just say, I wish I'd actually thought about this one more. Oh, there we go. Here's the safe answer. The Mexican food here is not great. If you've ever been to California, Texas, or any of the like, and then gone to Portland to have Mexican food, it is. I just had some a moment ago, and it was just awful.
It's a letdown.
So it is. They've somehow figured out the flavors in just about every food variety except for Mexican, and it hasn't changed since 2018. So. That would be definitely the one thing I would change as a California kid. Golly gee, do I enjoy Mexican cuisine.
We talked about you moving to Akron and opening up a taco truck.
Yeah.
Because we don't have authentic Mexican food here.
you do have Chipotle, I think.
That's true.
Did that survive? Yeah.
It's booming.
Yeah. Business is good.
Chipotle's always out the door. Any city you go to. Yeah,
anywhere you go here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for this tips and thoughts. It was a lot of fun to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on here.
Yeah, thank you both for the opportunity to chat. Any other questions or comments, maybe even concerns?
I want you to be on our episodes for San Francisco, and I feel like you could do one more.
Arizona.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah.
I feel like you would tear Arizona apart.
Yeah, no, I'd fall. Well,
that's okay.
It's a city.
There you go.
No, Arizona's a state, actually.
Well, hey, Peter, thank you so much. Go Trailblazers. Go Blazers.
Yeah. Go Zers.
There you go. Anyone exciting on the team you're excited about?
Yeah. Oh boy, I almost said that. Yeah, I would say who's the guy on the team? I don't know. Brandon Roy. I don't think he's played in 15 years, but we'll shout him out.
I think it's Sean Kemp.
Yeah. Kevin Durant.
That's who it is. I think it's Jim Tomey. Appreciate you. Thank you for everything. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you both.
We're the Travel Agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go. We're the Travel